All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the September 20th, 2018 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke is absent. Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers is absent. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And I forgot to look around. Do we have a flag in here? Oh, Mr. Luke just walked in. Yes.
Here.
No. We're checking to see if we have a flag here.
She has one.
Okay. All right.
Yes, it does. They do our.
So if everyone will stand with me, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Wells, for hosting our meeting tonight. Let's see. First up on our agenda, we need a motion to adopt our agenda for tonight. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have an employee of the month to recognize. So first, I will ask for a motion to recommend to approve Vera Spencer as our classified employee of the month for September of 2018.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Sorry. Second by Mr. Luke.
We're fighting.
We all want a motion, right?
That's right. Everyone recognizes Vera's good work.
That's right.
Vera, would you like to come up here and stand with me so I can embarrass you? So it's my pleasure to recognize you as employee of the month, and I'll read what your friends and peers that are. Oh, boy. Sorry. So, Vera is a very important part of the high school staff. She keeps the office managed and the whole school running smoothly. She organizes many events like graduation, schedule pickup, with great success. When we're short on staffing in the office, she's there to step in and help. With all she does, she stays positive and cordial to all that come in contact. And I can tell you, when I come in, sometimes I'm like, where's Vera? They're like, oh, she's back in attendance, or oh, she's back over there. So, and I even texted Tom yesterday, and I said, well, I did see Vera as the administrator at 9+9 last night. So thank you for everything you do. The high school will be lost without you, for sure. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Vera. Vera, we'd like to shake your hand, too. Thank you so much. So can I have a roll call now?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And congratulations and thank you again, Vera.
I guess I should also add that Vera was last year's Employee of the Year and then already started off this year being Employee of the Month. So a good trend.
That's right. Keeping that bar high for everyone, so way to go. All right, next up we have the presentation from Northwood Elementary, and did you want to start with your community partner recognition?
So Jeff Gratz, come up here. So Jeff Gratz works with Honda Research and Design, the IT department. So this year, I don't think he knew when he said, do you have anything that you need done this summer? Because he didn't know what that meant. So he and his department, I guess, where they were, came twice to Raymond, Northwood, Maven, and Mill Valley. They cleaned all of our new Chromebooks. They made our carts. They put them all together. They were just involved in a lot, and so it really, really helped. It was a lot of work that I didn't have to worry about or get somebody else to do, and our IT department didn't have to be involved.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jeff's wife is a long-term sub for us right now this year at for
my daughter. Well, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
I'll be calling you for more help. So they've been So, really what I want to talk about today is just kind of where we are in our next steps in our PL journey that we are on here. This year I set a challenge to the staff to basically be the teacher you needed when you were younger. We are all the same. When I was younger, I might have been a little ADHD. And so I was up and out and around and out of my seat a lot and talk a lot and needed to be challenged. That wasn't everybody. Some of us were struggling. Some of us needed to do well. And so I really said to them, think about when you were in school, think about your kids. What did you need? And so that's really how it's set up here. We put it into two parts for our summer work that we did. The first part was really the visual, like creating a visual within the building. We got a grant last year from Lowe's for $2,800 to get paint. We got vinyl cutter, so we did some things. We made a buddy bench for outside. The kids earned the money to build the buddy bench with a post office that they knew. They designed what it was going to look like, voted on it, and then Mr. Hensinger built it, and then I painted it. So they have a buddy bench out there. We just have a number of different things that we have added here and there to our building. I think the staff love doing it over the summer. It was something kind of fun to see all the different things. And the kids just walked in, they're like, oh my gosh, look, wait, there's something there. Oh, look at that. And so it just kind of brought that to it. And it was really, the purpose was to bring all of our, kind of our habits of mind in together, to in focus, see why we're here, and what we focus on for our kids. So one thing that we did make, this was new here, was called a gross motor obstacle course. And so we're just going to see a video in a little bit. But the obstacle course is made out of tape. We have it in both hallways. And so the kids then, it's for them to do whole body movement. What it does is once they've gone through this, they have to really think on it, they have to focus on it, they're engaged in it. And it really helps then foster that engagement. They can go back into the classroom and they're ready to go. So we have a couple videos. Because we have found, let's see if this will let me do it, something like that. So this is a young man, Ethan, and he's there. So there are different movements they have to do, tippy toe in a place, they have to jump in places, they really, you can see he's really focusing in on it. Here they have to do a 360 turn. He knew he didn't do it right, he had to go back. He also had Tic Tacs in his pocket, so it was cracking up his whole time. So now what we have found is kids are kind of making their own patterns up. They'll do it when they go to get a break. But we also have some big kids who really seem to like it. Jonathan's not even when you hit the red. Stretch the arms up top. Yes, doing that. Look at the kids. Look at the like, no. So other than that, it's really helped. The OT has taken classes through there. She'll work with kids for it. It's not special ed kids. It's just many of our kids who need a chance to focus. Kids will use it when they're walking down the hall. And it really does lead them back to that. They've kind of created their own patterns. So it does. So then summer work part two was really the hard part. It was when we were working, our teachers came, they worked over the summer, they were creating learner progressions, they were creating rubrics, they were looking at the standards and really figuring them out. Some of them, they said, you know, it's been a long time since I really looked at these. I wasn't even teaching this what they expected. So, you know, my son, he said, I know I'm on the right track because it stopped being easy. And really, it's not easy. If you ask them, they're like, wow, this is a lot of work. But the stuff that we had come out of it, these are our goals we set for them, and it's a lot. I mean, we put the bar high for them. Each grade level has created a work plan around these goals. They've bought into it. They have their dates set. We have checkpoints. That's what we're using our PD for. So they know that where they need to be. Two through four, it should be across the board by the end of the year. I mean, they're ready for that to go. So there's a lot there, but I know that they can do it. And really, they roll their eyes at me sometimes, but they know they can. So some of our teachers, new technology. This is three teachers. There's a first grade teacher, a second grade teacher, then a third grade teacher talking about how they're using personalized learning really for the first time this year in their classroom to a high level.
So this year in math, I wanted the opportunity to meet with my math groups a little more flexibly, and I wanted to give my students more choice. We do a lot of that in reading and literacy time, so back this year we decided to change things a little bit. So each day, the students come and they have a picture of themselves, and they come up and they make a choice as to which bin they want to start working with. At the top of the shelf, you'll see they have choices here, but these are must-do activities where they are specific activities kind of targeted to the standard that they're currently working on. So they do this bin first, which, since hers is on yellow, she would do the yellow bin. And then they have 10 activities down below that are all free choice. They must choose two activities each day. So they have the must-do, and then they do the two choice activities. The students seem to really love this. I've seen a lot more excitement in my class this year for math throughout the day. They're like, is it time for math? Is it time for math? So they really enjoy this. We're working on more accountability for students, and so they kind of understand what they're working on and why they're working on it. And then it allows me to move around the room and meet with my students more frequently.
In order to create a flexible math pacing in our classrooms, the second grade teachers met this summer, and we wanted to look at the math standards, and we created a learner progression, and this helped us to break down each standard and helped us to understand what students need to master in order to move on to the next standard.
So this year I'm working on having students look at standards mastery. So we started with multiplication and division this year. It matches the teacher toolbox. And so my kids started with 3.0A1, which is mastering I can multiply whole numbers. So they started with a pretest. They recorded on their student rubric. If they didn't reach mastery, which would be over 80%, then we lead into small group instruction. They also take an iReady lesson that they record on their rubric to see how they're doing after instruction. When the kids feel ready to take their post-assessment, then they let me know and I assign that, and then they can come back to their rubric to see how their growth is going. They are monitoring this themselves, so once they have mastered a standard, then they're moving on to the next standard and then requesting that next pretest. So our grade level created these rubrics based on the standards. So we started following the teacher toolbox. So this was multiplication and division, but we have one for every standard in mathematics. So right now the kids have this in their math folders. When we master multiplication and division, then they'll be getting out their next set of rubrics we've created. A great example is the rubric I have right now. She scored a 17% on the standards mastery. We hadn't started really teaching multiplication and division, so that kind of made sense. But after instruction, when she went to take the post-test, she grew to 83% and was so proud of herself.
And I think that that's one of the biggest things that teachers are seeing, is that pride that kids are taking, but the growth that they're making. Because sometimes you're not sure. You're letting them go, that what is going to happen, what can they do, but they really are growing. So every grade has created something. So this is a kindergarten version of a rubric that they have for their kids. And really what they went with was, is your puzzle together yet or not? And the kids understand that. So they use this language. They started to use this language for anything. You know, I saw a teacher doing the Haggerty and talking about rhyming words. And so she did some rhyming words and then said, okay, think back, close your eyes. Are there puzzle pieces together? Is it not yet? And then she gave examples and said, now you guys decide if my puzzle pieces together or not. And so she gave examples. So the kids are learning what this terminology means at a level where in kindergarten they understand that concept. First grade, now a couple videos. So this is a teacher that she's just started this. So when you see it, you think, but the kids love it. So this is one of her classes. Now this young man is playing dice. He's playing a game, but he's like shooting the dice. He is on already, doing some lessons on already. This is a game. They're working on counting on the task that they're working on. The teacher then gets the opportunity to work with someone. Now this was probably a week in the past. And then the same class a little later, she's working with another group. But she then the tailors can move to another group, talk with that group. Work with them and see what the next group's doing. What are you working on? This will go over Shirley. They were using blocks to count on, so they were at a different level. They could take up one of those grade and decide how to get that accountability piece to the students. So they have data because they're doing some things to help make sure that they meet that end goal weekly. So that's where first grade is. Second grade, this is their rubrics that they created. Students have these in their folders. They use those medical folders that have the tabs at the top so they can just flip through and see where they're at. So they thought, I'm still confused, I'm getting closer, I've got it. So they kind of level where they are, they look at what they've done on their assessments, and then they have to be able to support that they're there. Third grade rubric, you see this is a teacher version, so the teacher now is able to, has broken this down, so that they can use it and know where they are. And then fourth grade, this would be a chart that's in a teacher's room. So if they have a sticker, they've mastered it. If they have a little push pin, that's what they're working on. So then kids decide, am I on pre-assessment, an I-ready lesson, am I doing some instruction, am I doing practice, maybe with the teacher, and the last one's post-assessment. So I have a video of them. Let's see. So this is a fourth grade classroom, it's a little bit quieter. But they're each doing some different tasks. Again, the teacher gets to work with a group that needs some extra support. This is a big step for this teacher. It's like wonderful. Like this is, there's not that whole group that she was so used to. And this is what makes that these kids are growing. They like it. They're working in their places. Some of them are working on games. Some of them are doing the practice. Some of them are taking assessments. So this young man just joined us, so he's been on iReady for a couple days. And they were like, okay, you're getting away from screen time, we're going to have to do something different every time. So it's interesting to watch these two ladies here, because they go from where they're working on their own. So they're playing a game, but then there are the two ladies over here who have worked on their own. they work in some practice. Then they go over and they ask the teacher to get some extra support to check it. Do we have it? Do we know what we're doing? Have we got this? So now they have to go over here. This is one of their first times. They go over here, they found their card, now it's time to move it. And then they got to check that out. I'm going to go right to post-assessment. I don't really know. No, I think quiz. I think we just need a quiz here. So they think about it, and finally, the one little girl goes to talk to the teacher. She's like, no, a quiz. We need a quiz. So, you know, but they're still learning this whole process. So they eventually ended up on the quiz, I can tell you, because I know where they ended up at. So, but it's a process, and they are part of it. That's what's exciting. So this is kind of our personalized learning, what we have in action. The other thing we did this year that was different for our school was we did a kindergarten pilot this year for our kids. That usually kindergartners come for 1 hour, they take a lot of prey tests, and then they come back all together 3 days later. What my teachers asked, and thank goodness we were allowed to try this, was the kids come for a half day. So they came in at 9:30, and at 12 o'clock their parents came, a parent or somebody came with them, had lunch with them, took them through the lunch line, and then they went for the day. The next group came in at 12, had lunch, and then we'll pick them at 12:30. What happened was amazing to watch, because the kids made friends. The kids were able to build some relationships really with all the kindergarten teachers. They got some of the assessments done, but that really wasn't the biggest part of the whole thing. There were some relationships. When we got to the first day where everybody was there, they had some friends, they knew who they were walking into, they were able to say hi and knew some faces, and there wasn't as many tears. There just weren't as many tears, which is like the best part. The other thing was interesting is that parents were sitting in the lunchroom. They met some of the other parents. And they were talking and setting up play dates and stuff. So that was something we hadn't thought of. So that really was a thing. So that's kind of where we are with our personalized learning and what we kind of started the year out with. It's been busy. And really finally, just don't limit your child from your own learning. Or he's born at another time. You can't limit on what we learned. We did it. It was so different. And what they have now, the resources they have now, and everything else is just, it's amazing. So we give our students those opportunities to grow. So that's my presentation. If they have any questions about what we do here, why we do? Yes.
So I noticed on the video and also when we went on our building visits that there's an incredible amount of materials that are used. The boards on the wall, the little tokens.
Yes, yeah.
And it just made me wonder, like, when do the teachers put all that together? Is it like the summer? And are they working?
Well, we get some over the summer, but I'm telling you, they're putting in incredible amounts of hours after school. We are also trying, like, we do our TBTs, our teacher-based teachings, our grade levels, so we try to carry those all around this, so giving them time to do that. For example, we have a two-hour delay in prime time coming up. That will be geared just to that. So I'll say, okay, here's where you said in your work plan, your grade level wants to work, and what you need to work on. You have 2 hours. David and I are here to give you support. What do you need from us? What are you going to do? So they can at least use that time that we have available for them to use it. To go with it. But the rest of it is, seriously, it's a lot of time. We also have David Hensinger, our coach, who is really putting a lot of it together for him. I mean, he does as much as he possibly can. Hopefully the process is a little easier next year as you take the next step up, because you'll have so many of those resources.
I know that when Ann and I came through the building earlier, we saw the kids, we had an opportunity to demonstrate the tape on the floor.
Yes.
And that just, the one young man really struggled in trying to get through and needed some coaching and support. But you could tell that he had the grit that by the end of the year he was going to have this thing down. He was going to be able to zip through it. And the other thing is, as we see these presentations, we have teachers go through, our teachers work incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. They are some of the most dedicated educators that I've ever had the pleasure to enjoy. So.
Yeah, it's amazing with the hours. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I'm an early riser, so I'm here early, but there are
that's what I was going to say, is that they're seeing the results of their efforts. It's not like putting a lot of time, and they're unsure whether it's making a difference. There's definitely some positive feedback there. And, you know, I've mentioned to people before, if you haven't been in our schools to see what the teachers are doing, you have no idea where education is. Your experience doesn't exist anymore. It just, not in our schools.
And yeah, I mean, that's a perfect quote at the end. I just love that, you know.
Yeah, and we didn't have boards like that in my school.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, these are, you know, it's interesting because I talked about somebody, you know, we have some of them mobile now. These are kind of the new way that we're going in our PTO, thank goodness, with purchasing some for us. But the kids walk into a classroom that doesn't have something that's interactive, like, oh, can't you just touch this?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that right there. You know, that, like, their expectations, they don't know. So, but they're just so used to it, the interaction between technology or whatever.
So recently the school report card came out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about maybe a couple points of pride?
Well, we got an A overall. And a lot of hard work by the teachers. I mean, that's just all the work. But for me, probably my biggest thing that I was very happy with was our gap closing last year was an F. It's an A this year. That group of teachers knew that we had to touch everyone. We had some teachers, or one of them, but we had a couple third grade teachers who had 100% passage. I would say, you know, Ms. Vine was doing personalized learning, and she had 100% passage, and she didn't have just the high level kids or the good kids. She had some of our special ed kids in there. She had special ed kids in it. So it's amazing when you see that. You know, I celebrate it with the whole entire staff because it's a process, and we see as our kids are growing from kindergarten up and full day kindergarten, the things that we have in place, it is really making such a positive impact so that when they get to those assessments and the things that the state put out there, it's just another day that we have to go with and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure our kids are prepared. Yes, so we were very proud of that.
And you should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will have to say, I told about this. I had a parent call me, left a voicemail on my phone in there, and she said, I just wanted you to know I was watching the news today, and I don't know if you know, but the report cards came out, and Columbus got all outs, but I saw Marysville got a B, and that you got an A, and I don't know if you know they're out there yet, but you're just gonna and she said, but I just wanted to know I'm very proud of you guys, I'm proud of all your teachers, and I'm so happy my son was here. So that, and again, I shared it with the staff because that's why we do this, that they're recognizing that and they're happy that the kids are here and the kids are happy.
She even called the board office to tell us she was proud of the teachers.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Well,
so it was pretty cool. It was my dad.
You've created an amazing environment and climate here, so thank you.
It's come a long way. Good job.
Yep.
Well done. All right.
Great.
Okay, so
please congratulate all your staff for us, too. Great job.
They all did. They were.
I'm going to go dunk Tom.
They did, yep.
All right. Now I've got to figure out how to get out of here.
There's someone who might be able to help you here.
There's.
Okay.
I don't know who's next. Chris.
Next, we're going to have
Chris.
Presentation from Mr. Campbell on new innovations.
Bear with me one second.
Okay.
As I get this. Actually, I'm going to do a couple things. So if you guys want to come over and select headset, a cube, and we have iPods. If you could just get one of each.
He has some extra. So if you would like.
Yeah, I have more too if anyone else wants.
You're welcome to come.
I can get more out.
Yeah.
graded
because
down
I think, well, because I think he's
we're five out of the seat.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Have you done this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The best is I'm going to get to meet your pictures.
Oh, wow. People. It looks like there's four headsets
you're
still over
to
there.
Kind of
audience.
Have you queue you up a little bit as you get set up?
Sure.
All right. So,
technical difficulties, but
Chris, year one really helped us kind of get our blended learning platform up and running in the buildings and came with a wealth of experience, specifically in iReady. So, was key in helping really work with what that looks like in the classroom, and we're not replacing teachers, but it's a blended platform and meeting with parents and putting on kind of some groups. But when we talked throughout the year, one of the things we really wanted to create for our students was just, you know, different types of technology and innovations that were out there for kids to explore and start to discover some different things. So we sought out to do VR, which you're going to do tonight, and also we bought some drones for the district as well. I think I'll talk about, we're going to have maybe a drone team at the high school level that will compete with other Central Ohio teams. But really, this will kind of be like a show on the road, kind of like COSI on wheels, if you will, for at least this year, going to the different buildings. And I know he's already booked after he had shown teachers the technology. So that I wanted him to be able to come here and share that with you this evening.
I'll try to keep it under an hour. Every other one I've done has taken that long, but it won't be that long. So a couple things that really are exciting to me are, you know, my experience in the classroom really led me to look at new technologies. And when I was interested in coming out to Marysville, and during my interviews, I talked about augmented reality and virtual reality. That's the future of education. So when Diane asked me last year to look into the drones, I kind of used that opportunity to ask about getting the virtual reality into the district, because I think it's really the way that we're going to be looking at education and getting kids more hands-on experiences and getting them experiences they wouldn't normally see. So I was really excited about that. I'm excited about the drones, and I'll show you that too. But today I want to kind of just give you an experience of what it looks like. If you've never experienced virtual reality or augmented reality, it can really be a game changer in the classroom. So today we're going to just shortly go through. I'm going to show you guys a few things with the actual devices and the glasses, so that we can you can experience just quickly what it's going to look like. I'm not going to take you through a whole virtual tour, but Google has put out these Google Expeditions. So you can go anywhere, not anywhere, but almost anywhere, throughout the world and see different things. You can go to space. Today we're going to look at Mount Everest. And these are things that we can give to our students. And I'll come in the classroom, and I'm going to present a virtual tour for the students. They'll put the glasses on, and you'll see what it is. If you've ever looked and use Google Maps or Google Earth and seeing how they have 360-degree still images, that's what it's based on. It's all these 360-degree still images that are Google has this collection of them, thousands upon thousands of them, and they put together these tours, but they're educational. So they actually have a script that you go through. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to try to walk you through. What I'll do is I'll start my my tour, and you guys have that iPod in front of you. So when you open up your iPod, turn it on, the passcode is 1234. If it asks you to do any settings, which it'll do sometimes, just hit cancel every time. When you open it up, you should see, hopefully on the very home screen, there should be the Google Expedition app. And that looks like this one down here in the corner. It's got the flag. Okay? So if you open, oops, I don't want to delete it. Open it up. What I'll do is I will start a tour, and then you guys will be able to join it, and you can see what it looks like. It's going to be that one right there, the flag. Okay. So So I will start a guide, and we're going to look at Mount Everest today. So as the teacher, what you'll see in the board, if you look up there, you'll see what the teacher sees. And I wanted to show that so you guys can actually see that there's going to be an actual script the teacher goes through that they can look at, and there's going to be facts. So they can, because there's so many different expeditions in here, the teachers can reach out to me and say, okay, I want to do this with my students. I want to do this, take this expedition. You can go to museums. You can go to libraries. Even they now have in here, universities are putting these together too. So college universities, they will put a virtual tour. So if you're interested in going to a school out of state, you can actually go in and you can do that. So once you have that, that's perfect. So when you have this up, and you start it, there should be a join. So make sure you join. And, well, you know what? Some of them, unfortunately, we got dropped. Sometimes the Wi-Fi can be a little bit.
It's just going like this?
Yep. You can put it, as long as it's letting you do that.
Which way?
This one, this
way you put it in?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, look, here are the glasses.
You can use those without, with glasses on if you need to. There you
go. I'm there.
Okay, so when you have those on, there's a couple things. If it's blurry, and you guys probably can't see me now. So at the top, there are two little buttons, okay, that you can click in. You're not going to worry about clicking them in. In the bottom, there's also corresponding buttons in the bottom. Those are your focus points. So if you pull them in and out, not up and down, but actually move them closer to your eyes, like you want to move them.
She keeps looking underneath
there. I'm just looking.
So you can get them focused in by moving them closer to your nose or farther away from your nose, both up and down. And everyone has different eyes. So it's
people there, yeah.
And we can see where you're looking on the screen. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
You're all over the place.
I'm going to put it on.
Yeah, that's what they're looking like. So if they go off, they're not because they're going to be a face
beam. I'm going to put it on regular network. And then give it a second to grab it. And then there'll be a join. Because it's got to be on the same network I'm on.
Gotcha.
So what I'll do is I'll just show you. As the teacher, I have the ability to guide your attention. So you'll see arrows when they have them on, and you can literally turn your head all the way around to see what's going on. So right now I just created a new scene, so you should now be moving towards that. If I was directing this with a classroom, I'd be going through the script and be talking about this. This is the wind horses that are there.
Like all the way around?
There's a couple of you guys looking.
Oh, there.
Yeah. So as the teacher, if you see in my screen, you can see the little faces where everyone's actually looking. And so I know if the students are with me or not.
Okay.
But you can go through the whole process. There's multiple scenes. This is base camp at Mount Everest.
Okay.
I'm going to jump forward a couple, so I'm going to pause it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to jump forward so you can see some different views. As we start the next view, it'll take you to a new... Oops, that's not the one I want. Here, now this is going to take you to a different view now.
Ah.
So now you see climbing Everest.
Whoa.
And they'll actually see the mountains. And again, you can direct attention to where you want the students to be looking. Looking through the camps 2 through 4.
I know.
So one of the really neat things about... I'm going to stop the tour right there. I'd be glad to stay after if people want to do more of these. We're going to look at one other thing before I pull off the drones. A lot of the tours that they have in there, these are all 360 still images, but a lot of the stuff that's coming out now are 360-degree videos that they're doing. And a lot of universities, Brown University is one of them, that's they're making historical films that are filmed in 360 degrees so that you're actually sitting in the middle of the action, and there's action going on all around you. And so you're learning, and you're hearing things behind you. It's a fascinating new way that they're making educational videos and just really technology, or movies in general, all through technology. And like I said, there's tons of different ones on here. they also have the next part, which is the augmented. And Google released this summer some augmented reality apps where you can, and I'm not going to show it to you right now, I'm going to show you a different one, but where you can actually take that iPod through that expedition, and we have these, they're called target codes, and you just click on the code, almost like a scan, like you would with a, like you saw me scan the iPad up here to pull up my my screen. And it's like a QR code that you scan it, and it'll give you like artifacts, scientific artifacts, whether it be, they have bridges you can look at. There was one I like to do, which is the, it's Leonardo da Vinci's machines, and you can actually pull them up, and they'll be sitting in the desk in front of you virtually. Okay? So there's different ones. It's a little bit more complicated to do right now with, unless we can get up and move around. But the really neat thing, and this is the thing that we talked about when I was talking to Diane about purchasing these, is going to the next step and bringing the augmented part in. And this is called a merge cube. And these merge glasses, what they will do, if you take that iPod out again, and this time there's going to be, you are going to want to make sure you focus them when you get in there. So if you just look through it now, we're going to do augmented. So when you think about augmented reality, think about the Pokemon Go's when you saw everyone walking around the streets with their phone in front of them, and they're walking down, they're trying to get the Pokemon, but and they look kind of foolish walking around, but they're seeing through it. What you're going to do now is you're going to see regular reality, but we're going to use the iPod. So try to focus them so they look clear, like you would normally, and you can adjust as you go too. If you got them looking good, we'll take them off and we'll put the actual iPods back in. But this time we're going to flip them the different way.
So wait, okay? What should I be seeing?
Nothing yet. So as long as you have them focused, so you can actually see.
I think they're focused. All
right. Once you have them cleared, you feel like they're good. Because now what we're going to do is take the iPods. So take the glasses off again. Real quickly, because now we're gonna. What I wanted you to notice that you're gonna be looking through it normally. Well, before you had it turned, so you didn't have your camera facing. So now you want to make sure the camera is gonna be in that window. But go ahead and take the iPod and double click on the bottom. If you double click, you can then push up and it'll empty out that app that you're just using. It may be done if there's nothing there. Seems got to be sideways.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
There should be an Explore app there. You don't have to close it out either if you can't. Mm-hmm. You can just go back to the home screen by hitting the home button. There should be an Explore app, which is the planets. Mm-hmm. If you see that one, go ahead and click on that. When that starts up, it's going to ask you, if you have a merge cube, just say yes. Yeah, okay, so if you're at that point where it asks you for the phone mode or VR mode, I would suggest you try the VR mode first, because this is where it's really going to see a huge difference. And then you're going to want to make sure when you turn it that the camera is in that window now, okay? The screen's still facing you, but the camera's going to be in the window. Okay, and then you put it in.
Do I need to sign?
I won't make anyone. No, just hit cancel on all that.
You don't have to sign anything.
So now, when you put them on, you're going to use that cube.
Where's it at?
Ah.
And you should see reality plus. You should be able to see everything normally, because now you're just looking at the camera, and you're going to hold that cube in your hand.
Oh.
You should see the pop up into your face. Now, if you go back what I said before with those buttons at the top, the buttons at the top, either one left or right, will actually, if you click on the sun, it'll move you and pick up the solar system. And then if you turn the cube in your hand, you'll see all the different planets around there. And then when you come upon a planet you want to see, if you click the top again, it'll bring up more information about that planet. And then there's a little eye that's right to your... because it'll click the screen. And then you can click on the little eye, it'll bring up information. If it's blurry, bring it up closer to your face because you can read it better.
There, yeah.
And then you can turn it around. If you click on it again, it'll take you back to the sun, and then you can go back around and find a different planet you want to click on. This is one of the free apps that are out there right now, that one of the entry apps for augmented reality, but there's a lot of different ones. There's the human body. They're changing all the time. They're always adding.
Up here.
Yep, correct.
Up there. Right there.
Yep.
Okay. Earth is the fifth largest planet in our solar system.
So that, cool. In a nutshell, are our virtual reality and augmented reality glasses. Excuse me.
That's pretty cool, huh?
That's really cool.
I saw you.
Some of the things that I've looked into while we're doing this is I've looked. There's a lot of more technologies coming out constantly about how this is going to be affecting the classroom. So much so that even our computers now are going to be using this augmented reality. It's going to be popping out at us, and we're going to be able to interact with it as we're working. And the technology is a little bit too expensive right now, but the price points are coming down that we'll be able to put kids in front of their no longer Chromebooks, but a laptop device that will actually have them interact with what's coming into that screen so they can move around, just like you were doing with that cube right there.
Yeah, I mean, I can pose a political science teacher, but I can see being in the center of the Constitutional Convention.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 100%. One of the things that we're planning on doing this year with it is Google, also this past school year, at the end of the year in June, they released these expeditions so that teachers and anyone really can now create their own content. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a 360-degree camera, and we're going to take it to the high schools, and we're going to have students there actually develop the content. They'll write the script, as you saw on my board. I had the script up there. They will write the script that we can then take and use. My idea, initial entry point, was to use it for our Bunzl students when they're trying to choose between the different schools. ECHS or MHS. Mm-hmm. Each school will create their own tour, and then we can bring it to Bunzl and they can then see that and make choices based off of that. Mm-hmm. Written by high school kids. And then from that, we'd like to see that also high school kids go to other places and in the community around here and create, virtual tools that we can bring it to the elementary schools and do that.
Right.
So it's a way for us to do things and get kids to see the community in other areas pretty inexpensively, but also tie in all the education. All right, the last thing I want to show you guys are the drones. And this won't take long, so I'll keep it short. But one of the things, the drones are neat, and we can fly the drones, but what we're going to do with the drones is I'm going to work with students where we can actually start coding these drones. So what happens, I'm going to take it back to the beginning here so you guys can see. And this is a learning process for me as well. But basically, Apple has released in their Swift Playground, we're working with Parrot drones, which that drone is you can now not just fly these things, but now we can block code them. So I just want to show you what that looks like a little bit. And the idea is to start with that here at Northwood. I'm coming over next week just to fly drones to get the kids interested, and then we're going to start a lunch club where they're going to come in and we're going to work on block coding so they can create an obstacle course that they go through, and they have to meet certain criteria, which fits into our mastery learning, where they're going to be, they can do part A, and then when they do that, they move on to the next part, and so on and so forth. But basically, going through the coding with Parrot drones, I'm just going to quickly jump through all these, so you don't have to read all this stuff. But you can see that they'll learn the terminology of what they're doing, they'll learn how to do all of these things inside the Swift Playground. And believe me, I spent some time last year. It's pretty easy to do. They don't really have to type a whole lot. There's language involved. There'll be numbers involved. But really what it comes down to is them being able to manipulate, which we know they can do just fine, manipulate the actual iPad and move things with their fingers, because it's not, they don't have to actually type anything in. Like for here, we're going to take off and land. When I click on that, if you see at the bottom here, it gives me all the codes that I want to put in. So when I click, this is takeoff. I don't know if you can see that, but I add a takeoff, and that's the actual code, okay, that they would do. And then the next one, when I click on it, it's going to tell me I want to land. Now, I put these in already. These are preloaded, but they wouldn't be there. They would actually click on the empty space like here, and I would take off, and then I could add wait, and then I would click on the number of seconds I want to wait on. If I want to wait 2 seconds, and then I'm going to go down and I'll add another line of code, and then it would be land. So I'll just run this really quickly. Hopefully my drone is still attached.
There it is.
Woo-hoo! So it'll go up, and they can do, oops, there it goes again, because I ran 2 lines of it. So now he's going to wait. and I'll jump forward. And these are all the things the kids will, the program itself, they'll walk through and they'll do these. So they'll see in this one here, it's a little bit more exciting. I didn't go too far. Hopefully it doesn't hit anybody. But if you've ever seen any of those YouTube videos back when you saw they had a whole bunch of them, they orchestrated a whole like dance with the drums. I mean, that's what they're doing. So the kids will be able to do that, and they'll create an obstacle course, which I visited Pickerington when they were doing it, and I was blown away by how the kids loved it, how they were learning, how they were, that whole, that you spoke about grit earlier, and like that mindset that we can do this, and failure was a learning experience. The failure was fun. It wasn't miserable. It didn't hurt. It felt great. So really, that's the plan. So that is it. I hope I kept it less than.
Perfect.
Very wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's, what great opportunities for everybody. Kids, staff. Really neat. Okay. Clean up our mess. Get our supplies back. All right, our next presentation. Ms. McLaughlin and Ms. Thompson will be speaking to us about personalized learning. All right.
So I know that you hear from the buildings each month on progress, and so I asked Ashley and Heather to come forward, and I know you've heard me say it. We talk about it definitely during my goals and work plans and et cetera, but to give a little overview about kind of where we are, where we're headed this year. Similar, you'll hear some of what you heard in the state board presentation. I can tell you that our district is full of incredibly talented people. The two people in front of you are shining stars in our district and demonstrate incredible leadership on a daily basis. I would tell you we wouldn't be where we are today without their leadership, for sure. So, ladies.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so like Diane said, you probably heard about the work happening in personalized learning. So we want to just go over a quick overview of what personalized learning is and where we are in our goal to be fully operating in 2020. So, when we first started, you heard a lot about learner-centered practices and growth mindset, having grit, embracing failure and learning opportunity and that kind of thing. And then we moved into the second leg of the work, which is competency-based education, which is kind of a five-tenet definition, which includes a standards-based approach, a mastery learning pedagogy, systematic supports, habits of mind, and then assessment that aligns to our standards. So we're in the middle of that work now, and we're just going to give you kind of a timeline of what the work looks like so far to really land in what we call personalized learning, where both of these are fully, like I said, operating. So you might have seen this in the board presentation from ODE, but basically we started here in 2016-17, and we kind of had a two-phase-in approach. Last year we started with the learning continuum builds in K-8, in the core content areas. This year we have sort of three phases of the work happening, and Karen's presentation was a good representation of how it's all coming together in the early stages. So we're still embracing learner-centered practices at the building level, because we think, you know, without learner-centered practices at the foundation, if you set CDE on top of it, it's actually not the best conditions for kids without the learner-centered practices being there to kind of set the CDE tenets on top of. We're continuing with our continuum building. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then there are teachers who are out in front trailblazing that are ready to put like all of this together with the resources that we have. And then next year, counselor and set practices. She'd just see how things go in Marysville. We'll finish up the CDE work and then continue refining and personalized learning all together. So that's kind of a timeline for the work. This year's a really heavy lift, so we'll talk about what's going on, sort of like those big things going on, and then there's things happening all over the place. So I'm excited for you guys to see the buildings present this year because there's all kinds of good work happening. Teachers are working extremely hard and doing good things for kids. So these are kind of just some things happening right now. I said we started with continuum builds last year in K-8. We actually had two straight days, yesterday and the day before, with 9-12 in math and science, and it was fabulous. Some of the best conversations I've heard in a long time, in a collaborative dialogue with 9-12 and all representation from all of our high schools, which was awesome. Karen talked a little bit about learning progression, so that's going on in K-8 this year, and we're also beginning continuum builds in by arts in 12. So really there's a different phase of work happening across the district in all kinds of areas, which is a lot of work, but good work and really exciting. And we do that work with teams of teachers, coaches, and administrators, which we refer to as the steering committee. So there's a lot of representation and support from central office allows us to sub some teachers out and make sure that work happens. Another thing that we're talking about this year is just how to shift instruction to a mastery mindset. So what does that mean for kids when they come upon a struggle or when they don't meet mastery on something? What are those attributes that allow kids to really learn for understanding versus learn in some time-based system that we're used to? Systematic supports, you'll hear about the AT meetings and talking about kids deeply. We still run leadership groups with our administrators and our coaches because they also need support to continue to support the teachers and the kids at the building level. We boost coaches, and then we also put together a PL Pulse team this year, which we'll talk briefly about in a few minutes. These are just pictures of our learning continuum steering community work. So we get groups of teachers about this size. We work in teams of about 30 to 35 people, and we come together and we go through a prioritization of standards, and we use this research-based kind of protocol to get the work done. And we draft what are considered guaranteed non-negotiable learning targets, K-12, in each content area, and then we build progressions that allow kids to interact with how that works, how do you reach mastery in a learning target. So it's more in-depth than that, but this is kind of an overview of the work that's happening. If you're ever interested in learning more about that, let us know. Sit down for about an hour with you.
Or come join us.
Yeah, that would be good. And then,
yeah. So when Ashley said that one of our focuses this year is on mastery, we felt it was really important to kind of unpack what mastery means for teachers, but also for kids. So we came up with an acronym, to help teachers understand. So when we talk about mastery in Marysville, what we're saying is kids get multiple attempts to demonstrate mastery. It's not a one and done. And that most current demonstration of learning replaces future evidence of learning. So if I got a 27% on my math test, but I took it four more times and ended up with an 89%, I have an 89%. I'm not bundling all of my attempts and trials together. The A, allowable demonstration of mastery. That's where the voice and choice comes into play. Scaled measure of proficiency, those are the learning progressions that Karen was talking about. Tier one remediation. What are we doing in the classroom when kids don't get it? Because they don't. It takes a couple times. So what are we doing for that? Giving feedback to kids. It's not enough to say, you know, good job, you tried really hard and keep it up. You know, we have to specifically tell kids what their deficits are and what are points of remediation so that they can grow. And also allowing kids to move on when they're ready. You know, does every kid need 3 weeks of fractions, or can some kids get it in 7 days? Mm-hmm. Are kids allowed to move on when they're ready, or does everyone have to move at the teacher pace? And just embracing that yet mindset. So, like Ashley mentioned, a heavy focus of our PD this year will be on the idea of mastery and helping teachers understand what that looks like, so they can turn around and create structures and systems in their classroom for kids to live within that. And we find that acronym helpful. Mm-hmm. So,
Ashley also mentioned, we put together a PL team this year. We found we had these, like, random people in the district. They weren't coaches, they weren't building principals, but, you know, Steve Griffin, he's not random, he's important. But Chris Campbell, he's not random, he's important. But we've got these people who are kind of little one-offs. So we created a team. We created all those people together to make a PL team. And you can look and see they all have a very distinct emphasis and focus of expertise. And so with this team, we have created systems this year where the team is divvied up into smaller teams. Let's say Kim Jude and Mark Gallagher and Heather Mack were assigned to Karen's building, for example. And every 8 weeks, that PL team goes into Karen's building, and we do walkthroughs. Mm-hmm. And we go into classroom teachers' rooms. We're looking for evidence of personalized learning. We're giving feedback to teachers. We're giving feedback to Karen. Mm-hmm. Karen can say, you know, I really need some support with whatever. Well, now she's got this team of people she can go to. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain that Steve Griffin is much more of an expert than I am in certain regards, too. Personalized learning. So we've created these sub-teams, and it's really helped bring everyone together and unify the experience, and it's allowed us to kind of broaden the stretch of our work, because it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. and it's a heavy lift, and it takes a village, and so that's our village.
So the other thing that we do, and we really work together with these folks to kind of talk about, you know, what supports does each building need, because like kids, not every building, not every classroom teacher needs the same level of support that other classroom teachers or buildings need. So we kind of take a multifaceted look at, you know, how are we doing? And you've seen the state report card, you know, things are improving, things are looking good, we're really mm-hmm. proud of the growth that the district's making. Are we there yet? Not yet. We still have a little bit of growth to make. And we want to make sure that we're looking at that measure in tandem with some other measures that we feel are really important. So I'll just talk to you about kind of how the PL Pulse team works together and talks about the district as a whole and the buildings as individuals, and then even further into subgroups within the buildings. And we talk with the principals regularly through principal academies and that kind of thing. So you saw the state report card. We got a B overall. We're super proud of that. We're extremely proud of our A and gap closing. With personalized learning, the focus is definitely always on progress. It's continued improvement. You are where you are, and we're going to support you moving forward. So that's true of kids, teachers, coaches, everybody up through the district. This is kind of a breakdown of each building data. I won't go deeply into that. You guys have access to that. Make sure Diane has shared with you how this looks. But this is looking awesome from a personalized learning perspective. When I look back at the data from 15-16, everybody is growing. So that's awesome. Not everyone's growing enough. So that is just an impetus for we're doing the right thing because it's working for the majority. So we need to keep pushing and supporting. We wanted to dig a little deeper into content. So you saw this in the board report probably. We used some spring tentative results. Those changed slightly with the recent release. But it gives you the idea. We're growing. We have two areas that we absolutely didn't grow, so we're all over this right now. But we know that what we're doing is generally working, and we need to make sure that we give extra support and take a critical look at what happened here so that we can support kids and teachers moving forward. Again, in ELA, we had a slight decline here in eighth grade, but otherwise making incredible gains, so we like to see green. So that's kind of how we look at the state report card, or one measure of how we look at the state report card. But we also want to make sure that we're looking at how kids are thinking and feeling. What is their perception? So we use the HOPE survey data that I'm sure you've heard Diane talk about. We also use personal learner profiles to allow kids a platform for us to kind of really dig into what their perceptions are about school and learning and their experience. And then we'll talk about what the Pulse team generates as far as feedback for schools as well. So Heather will kind of dissect this with you.
So we give the HOPE survey to all of our kids in the district, third grade through 12, and we give it twice a year. And if you look at this quickly, you can see we've got fall from 15, fall from 16, and fall from 17. And the HOPE survey measures four things. HOPE management, like classroom behavior, engagement, and belonging. And it's on a 5-point scale. So when you look at that 4.16, you think, well, that's not tragic. I mean, mm-hmm. 4.16 out of 5, that's not too bad. But that's an average. And we know that averages don't quite always tell the story. So we want to dig a little deeper into that HOPE survey and really find out where are our strengths and where are our opportunities for growth. So when we unpack this, you can see this is district data right here. It tells you in the top box, these are things we're really good at. You know, my teacher expects all the students to behave well. I know how I'm expected to act. Very kind of compliance-based mm-hmm. behavioral type of things. The second box at the bottom talks about opportunities for growth. This teacher knows about my interests. Only 34% of our students, on average, feel like their teacher knows about their interest. If that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what does. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last 7 days, I've received recognition or praise from my teacher for doing good work. Only 40% of our kids. That right there is the meat and potatoes of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, personalized learning is not just about academic content. It is about instructing the whole child in their heart and their emotional well-being. And our kids are telling us we're missing the mark a little bit. So we have to respond to that. So just, you know, it's not looking so great. But as the years have progressed, you can see classroom HOPE has consistently gone up, up, up. Engagement, up, up, up. Belonging, up, up, up. Management has gone up too, but with the least amount of growth. So the things that matter most to us, not that management's not important, but the HOPE and the engagement and the belonging, that has the greatest uptick. And that's something we're really proud of. We can hang our hat on that because that's what matters, I think, as an educator, is the heart of children. So we feel like we're meeting the mark in that regard.
Well, Gallup clearly states that HOPE and engagement are just as important, if not more, than reading and writing in right. student success. So right. if we're not fostering that sense, certainly all the work we're doing in reading and writing might be for naught, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're equally emphasizing those platforms in order for our students to grow as much as they possibly can.
So what grades is that?
It's the average of the district. Yes. 312.
Average. Okay.
Third and 312. I'm sure that the elementaries would probably be a little different than some of the higher ones.
So nationally, it's that way.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's a Gallup poll, right. So it's done nationally and normed nationally. Okay. And you can see even on national data that middle school, high school mm-hmm. start to look drastically different than elementaries.
So, but we want to work on HOPE all throughout.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Is that what you're working
on? Yes.
So then another way that we have an intentionality and commitment to our learners is something that we do in-house in district. It's not a national, you know, thing. It's a Marysville thing. We created last year something we call a PLP, Personal Learner Profile. We're in year two of that. It's a digital platform. It's housed in PowerSchool. And there's various sections to the tool, but it asks kids questions. What are you interested in? Do you like drawing? Do you like art? Do you like animals? You know, what are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What are your talents? The power of that then is when you've got a kid in your classroom who you're struggling to connect with, you pop open their PLP, you find something about them, and then you can make a connection with them. You know, you like baseball, you play baseball, I'll come to your game. What's your game? Next Saturday, I'll put it in my calendar, I'll be there. It's a way to hook kids and make connections with kids in a way that you may not otherwise know. If we don't ask the question, we don't know sometimes. So it's interest, passions, talents. It's asking kids, what do you perceive to be your strengths? Do you think you're a good reader? Do you feel like you struggle with math? You know, tell me what you think. How do you prefer to learn? Are you a child who just kind of wants to be by yourself and do your own thing? Or are you a conversational, collaborative type of learner? When you know that about your kids, you can design learning that meets their needs. Or design learning in multiple ways, so kids have some choice in how they learn. But if we don't ask the question, perhaps, we don't know. The difference from last year to this year, now we have all of our PLP data in Tableau. It's an online workbook, and it's what it is just one gigantic, huge, amazing pivot table thing that aggregates and pulls all the data. But now our data is so quick and nimble for teachers. Teachers can click on this box and say, wow, looks like a lot of my kids like athletics. I wonder how many that is. Oh, 26%? Which of those kids that are 26% that click on that bubble? Oh, there's good kids who really like that. It's just quick, easy, instant data. None of it's academic. It's all social, emotional, personal stuff. And we're proud of that.
I can't tell you how many times in my teaching career you were in a discussion where the discussion led to, until you demonstrate interest in your students, they're not going to have an interest in you or what you do. That the first step in education is relationships.
Every time. Yeah, every day.
Without exception.
The other thing that we added this year with PLP that is a new thing, we use the Hope Survey to kind of sense or to gauge their sense about kind of our belief in them, our investment in them. So we created a survey with a similar premise, but we really wanted to get a student sense for, are you feeling that all this work we're doing is making a difference for you? So do you feel like the classroom is customized for your, you know, primary interests and your primary modalities? You know, are you feeling supported academically? So we've crafted a 13-question survey that gives us kind of a dipstick into, you know, what does the kid feel the academic learning experience changes are. Some of our younger kids won't feel a change because it's all they've experienced, but we want to know, like, does this work for you? Because we're working really hard to make this, to customize learning. If they don't feel like it's customized, then perhaps we need to change what we're doing a little bit. So as we measure implementation, we want to make sure that we're asking the folks, our clients, is this working for you? Like, are our customizations actually making an impact? So we hope to pull some just survey data twice a year also with our PLPs. So we'll set a couple dates, one this semester and one next, to see what kids are telling us about their learning experience. So I'm excited to see how that turns out.
How does the information get in there?
Kids enter it.
Kids
enter. So they can log on, and there's like a, there's a process they follow to log on, and then it pops up and they can just click buttons and hit, there's open dialogue boxes so they can tell us more. There's radio buttons so we can just get easy pullable data. Mm-hmm. So it's a mix.
Okay.
Yeah, we can show you sometimes. The last thing we do, Heather talked about that team of administrators that's together. We're really together, so we're all speaking the same language. We're in alignment. We're not asking too much from different departments. It's all kind of coming through the lens of personalized learning. So when Heather talked about feedback, we try to create a culture in our buildings that's a constant look at data, look at formative assessment, and give feedback to one another. So we always want to be supportive and honest and transparent in what we're thinking and what we're expecting. So one way that we have tried to get ourselves in the building and try to be another set of eyes for a building principal to say, like, let's calibrate what you're seeing, let's calibrate what you need. We've decided to do some pulses, like Heather said, on a cycle, depending on which building you're in. And this is kind of what a pulse form looks like. So we have some implementation guidelines here, and then what evidence are we seeing just on a quick pulse? Is it the end-all, be-all? Nope. But it's just kind of a quick snapshot of what we're seeing, so the principals can have some information from a different perspective to make sure that we're all kind of gauging the work in the same way. So that's exciting for me because it forces me into buildings that I wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to get into. And it's also inspirational because we can share ideas and coach one another better when we have teachers who are honestly the most creative people that we work with to kind of spread the ideas and inspirations around. So that's one way the pulse team is working together as well. So we probably went over a minute, sorry. But are there any questions you have for us?
I wanted to go back to the gap closing thing. The
do you want to go back to the slide?
No, I don't need the slide. No. The A is great. Mm-hmm. Is that sustainable? Is it going to get easier or harder to get?
Well, they changed the measure to be based on progress, so it should be sustainable from my perspective. Mm-hmm. We should always be growing kids. So, yes.
So formally it was a you got it or you didn't, and now they recognize if students from that subgroup move so many points or if they move into the next level of performance. So it's not you hit this measure or you didn't, so it's a all or none type of thing. So they're recognizing the progress, which is what, you know, educators ask for.
Right.
Because it was frustrating that you were making progress, but there was no way to recognize that.
Well, the other question I have is about the community, because gap closing is a term of art. It's jargon. You had somebody call you, a parent, who was excited about the report card, but do the parents even know what gap closing is? It's like, what, half of the overall score?
Well, here's what I can tell you. In my 7 years as a superintendent in this school district, this is the very first phone call I've ever gotten, good or bad, about the school report card.
So that may
answer your question on itself.
But I guess my question still remains. It's gap closing is very important for educators, but is the community, are they motivated or do they understand the goal?
My sense would be no. We do try to educate quite a bit, but no one was upset when we had an F, I guess is my point. And not really, that doesn't change our target and our enthusiasm to communicate that to them and help them understand. But it's been a very complicated measure to explain.
So many changes over the past several years, and I think, you know, for a long time everybody was familiar with that excellent with distinction, you know, and we had that. And then, ever since they got rid of that, which was how many years ago? A long time ago. It's just kind of been one change after another, and they've slowly been transferring to this, where now, you know, first year where you get that overall grade, and so I would guess as a community member, you kind of lose interest after a while because you're like, well, I don't know what they're doing. You know? Yeah, it's kind of hard
now
to track.
Now that they have an overall grade, my sense is the direction is going to that. This is the first year we've had the overall grade again in a while. Mm-hmm. So my sense is they looked up what was my school, what was our school district,
right.
And those are the only how that was calculated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad as a district we're focusing on education and kids, because the report card keeps changing. Mm-hmm. It sounds like parents are not that concerned about it. You know,
if
we have to balance our commitment to educate with our attention to these external measures, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, our whole team will tell you, I say all the time, we're more than a report card.
Yes.
Right? And if we keep working our plan, the tests take care of themselves. You heard Karen say that today, which was beautiful. They don't have to talk about the tests. Mm-hmm. You teach the standards, you assess the standards, you intervene, enrich whatever's required. The tests take care of themselves. The report card takes care of it. So it's not teaching to the test, you're teaching the standards.
Can I say one thing too? Just I have a couple of teachers here, and having been in other districts and now here, they're like, you know, I never knew my kids like I know them here. And then one teacher in particular brought her kids here, and her student did not have a good second grade year, so he's in third grade year this year. And she said his teacher didn't know him. He would mark anything on the paper. He didn't know where he was going, what was heading on. She said, you know, some of the things you hear up there, the grades and all that stuff, that's our teachers here know the child sitting in front of them, where they need to go. She's had more information than I ever had on what I need to do and where I need to do. And as a parent, she was excited that she knew her child was going to be taken care of, that we're going to fill those gaps that he may have gotten from last year. So I think that to me just speaks why we're doing this and where they're going. So grades, you know, that's out there, but this is what parents are looking at, I think.
A I think just everything that you guys are doing as a team, you're modeling what you want our teachers to do, and you're modeling with our staff, and you've been creative. You have tweaked things every year when you come up here to do your presentation, and you're constantly questioning, what if we missed something. And I love the idea that we got to make sure we're asking our kids what they think about this change. Just some of those obvious things that are easy to let slide through the crack when you're so focused on making this humongous shift. So, kudos.
So I think also we listen, we appreciate the great heart. We're extremely happy with the results on the great heart. It shows continual growth. But we also listen to outside people. So we were at the school board leadership conference, and we're sitting next to a gentleman who's on the school board in Lima. And he asked, "Oh, where are you from?" He said, "Marysville." He said, "You've got something good going on there in Marysville." And he told his kids that have young children to move to Marysville.
Oh.
So she's now in Marysville. The mom is now president of one of the PTOs of the elementary school.
Wow.
So you hear very positive things from the community. I think it's very important that that type of information is fed back.
Additionally, we've worked with Knowledge Works for a number of years, and I assume we will continue to work with them. They recently published two articles on personalized learning strategies that were, because in the state of South Carolina and in North Dakota, they've gone to a statewide adoption of this process. And I think it's important to acknowledge that our superintendent, the two of you, have presented at national conferences. You have gone to South Carolina. You've been in contact with the superintendent of education in North Dakota. They have been seeking out your experiences, your knowledge, and the kind of information that you've given us today in order to be able to move education in those states forward. And I watched today, because it was this week they came out in North Dakota, so I watched the teacher presentations and so forth. And I'm sitting here listening to these teachers and state representatives talk about education and say, "Damn, that's our school. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing." And they're following the lead. So again, you guys have come together. You have motivated the teachers in this district. You've provided some knowledge. The teachers in this district are the ones that are really doing the grunt work. I'd like to say that it was, always like to say it was all of you guys, but it really wasn't. Your role was just to wake other people up and to get them pointed in the right direction. So Superintendent Mankins, one of her first years, she kept talking about getting arrows going in the same direction. And the arrows are definitely pointing in the right direction, and we're moving forward. And I think I agree with Brian that there's a lot of information that we're having a hard time getting to parents so they understand. It's natural that everybody thinks about their own experiences in school. It's natural for people to believe that their vision of what's going on is what's actually taking place. But until you have an opportunity to really see it in place, when you see kids stepping down the tape in the halls, and you see teachers in the classroom with kids running around and everybody's learning, it's just fun. It's just fun. You guys have done wonderful things, and continue to do well. Thank you.
Yeah, thing Jonathan's going to highlight the report card, but I think, you know, we made a substantial investment a few years ago on all day K by the time we were moving mm-hmm. all this way. And, you know, we're one of two schools that got a B in K-3 literacy and 100% passage on the third grade reading, and the other school is New Albany. So, I'm sorry, Upper Arlington. So, you know, as we talk about our investment in education and getting your money's worth, I mean, we're far exceeding you know, some pretty prestigious schools in the area, which just is another indicator of how we're doing things right. And it just makes me proud of what's taking place here, for sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you both for your leadership.
Thank you very much. I was just thinking this because of our virtual reality little work here, that your vision is becoming virtual reality in our district. How's that?
Yeah. And you don't have to put goggles on.
Exactly, I know. And mess up your hair.
Mess up your hair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, next, any public participation? Yes, we have one person who would like to address the board, Mr. Weiss. If you wouldn't mind stating your name and address for the record, you will have 3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Jared Weiss. What else did you want me to say? Address, 17919 Bear Swamp Road.
Thank you.
I'm here from the Levy Committee. Okay. I'm one of the co-chairs of the Levy Committee along with Chris Schmang. Just wanted to give you a quick update. We're sort of in the boots on the ground period. We've been in a planning period since January, basically. Just putting the teams together, putting a strategy together, and we're now into that point where we're getting down the ground and we're getting ready to go. So a lot of things have been happening. Our social media has really ramped up. It's fairly robust. I think it's doing very well. Chris and I were on the radio yesterday with Pete on Marysville Matters, so that went very well. Our Mind Plus 9 event was last night, so that's sort of the kickoff to the volunteer efforts. And so we're really hitting the ground running, and you're going to start to see a lot more here in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the election. And so things are going very well. I think the public has been very receptive, I think. We're just out there and, you know, trying to combat any misconceptions or anything like that, but I think it's going very well. The team is working really hard, and I think it's the team that put together the Mind Plus 9 event last night, I know they've been doing a lot of hours in the last week or so trying to get this together. So everybody's working hard. You're going to start seeing us knocking on doors. You're going to start seeing mail pieces going out. You're going to start seeing those kind of things. So we're happy with what's going on, and we're looking forward to November. Signs in the yard next week. They were delivered last week, so we have those. T-shirts that people have purchased have come in. We've got mail pieces ready to go, so we've got our little hand sanitizer. I'm picking all that up tomorrow. So we will have those. Yes, we have hand sanitizers. We think people have dirty hands, so we wanted to pass them there. We wanted to get something that's useful.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. There you go.
People use it. Kids are always washing their hands. Here, take this. Mm-hmm. So, but we're, like I said, we're happy with what's going on, and I think it's going to be a really good campaign. So, if anybody has any questions,
website
supportmarysvilleschools.com.
Okay.
Twitter and Facebook are both support MEVSD. We're doing just a lot that you guys have heard this tonight. You've heard it all before. There's so much positive things going on. So many great things going on in the school district, and our job is just to let that be known. Just to tell that to the community so that they know when the time comes to vote, that not only is it about numbers and dollars and levies and things like that, it's about what's going on in buildings and what's going on with these students. So we want to make sure that we're telling everybody we can about it. So.
Great. Thank you. We appreciate all the time that you put into that, Jared. Thank you. Okay. Next up on our agenda, the High Point report. Mr. Chivington was not able to attend the meeting tonight. I did email his report, so if there are any questions, as always, just let Doug know and we can address them. Next, superintendent's report.
All right. We can go first, Jonathan. I asked Jonathan to just kind of, we talked about points of pride, give a rough overview. I know we shared this with you already, but just kind of a rough overview of the report card. It'll take them a minute to figure it out. There we go.
We might see one of those in your office or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It is portable.
All right. Well, again, just going to do just a quick run through the report card, highlighting some areas, etc. As you've heard already, this is just one data point that we look at, reflect, focus energy about the students. So there was a wide variety of data that we look at as a school district. So again, this is just one piece of the puzzle. All right. Again, with the local report card by the state of Ohio for Marysville Schools. Again, very proud. First year overall. B for our school district. Again, this is the first year that an overall grade has been given. And then again, you've heard some of these data points already with our grades in these areas. Here's just a quick snapshot of all of our buildings and how they performed with grades in each of the areas. So again, very proud of several points I will highlight here in a little bit. Really proud of overall grade. If you do see a pattern here, you can tell that none of our buildings earn anything lower than a B. Again, those points of pride, things that we're very proud about, and we just want to continue to get better at even. Overall, again, that B, first year of an overall grade in the state of Ohio. District progress grade. This is the value-added data that we've talked about previously. It's about where students were at last year and how far did we take them now this year. So, and again, as you can see, straight A's, which is extremely difficult to accomplish. Again, an overall A for that grade, overall for all students an A, gifted students A in progress, lowest 20% in achievement A in progress, and our students with disabilities A in progress. It's something to be very proud of. Gap closing, again, that grade is an A, and moved from an F from just a year ago. Performance index, we increased it from a C to a B. So again, our students are achieving at higher levels. K-3 literacy grade, again, we improved from a C last year to a B this year. We're heading in the right direction. What's interesting is if you go dive into the details of our report card to the ODE website, you'll see the third grade reading guarantee passage rate as 98.4%. That was actually a missed data point. We had zero students retained in third grade. All students last year met the third grade reading guarantee requirements. Again, four-year graduation rate, very proud, from a B to an A. All of our buildings, no building, earn anything lower than a B for the overall grade. Gap closing, same story. No building in our district had a grade lower than a B in gap closing. And then two, if you'd like to take a look, here's just a quick comparison of our district to OCC schools.
As well, I think I shared that with local. You guys too by mm-hmm. email as well.
This should look familiar.
Thank you.
So again, we're very proud of our trajectory of where we're heading as a school district. Again, we're one of the best in Central Ohio. As we all know, though, we always want to continue to improve. So we do have some opportunities for growth that we recognize. Achievement indicators met was a D this school year. And then our prepared for success was a D. What's interesting about, of course, we improved from an F to a D, but, a they're not ringing the bell on that yet. We need to get in a BA range. Prepare for success, grade D. What's interesting is you need to understand that this data point on this local report card is from the 2016 and 17 graduating classes. This does not include the graduating class of 2018. So a positive, though, from that D is that we increased the number of kids who scored 3 or higher on at least one AP exam or who earned at least 3 college credits before leaving high school. So from 208 students to 280. So that's some really good growth. We want to see that continue to grow. What's going to be interesting is next year's local report card. That's going to actually include the first graduating class of early college high school in the prepared for success data. So we're very intrigued to see how that impacts that data. And again, the first state-funded ACT data, the state of Ohio in the last 2 years, they funded at least every junior gets to take the ACT on the state. So again, part of that percentage that figures out what grade you are is how many remediation-free scores you get on the ACT. Some of our students may never have taken the ACT, but they can score extremely well because of how they perform in school and education that they get.
What is the remediation score?
Depends on the subject in the ACT.
Each one's different. Math is different than English.
So they don't do a composite score for.
It's areas of.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, there's remediation-free scores in each of the areas.
Gotcha.
There's an ultimate score. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, there's sub-scores for remediation-free purposes, which is one of the past graduations.
I also saw that it has the SAT as a listed item, mm-hmm. which very few kids at the schools take the SAT, primarily only if they're planning on going out of state to college.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that seems like an unusual point. You know, the state may pay for an SAT too.
Well, as a school district, we have the opportunity to select ACT or SAT every year for our juniors to take on the state of Ohio. Without hesitation, our students, our teachers, each and every year strongly recommend ACT. ACT is what our students take the most of on their own on the Saturdays. So it gives them greater opportunities to increase their scores. So we want to give them that opportunity on that similar assessment. Any other questions?
Good. Good data. Yeah, I'm proud. Thank you.
All right. Also, I told you I'd give you a little update on enrollment. The district is up 64 students compared to last year this time. 62 of those students are at the elementary level, and 56 of those are in kindergarten. So, if you remember, we added kindergarten positions. Karen tells me they're continuing to move in now, so at Navin and Northwood, so we're watching that still. But important to know that kindergarten number has increased. We've also been watching class size across the district. Do have a couple classes at the high school that are singletons, which means it's only offered one time during the day, like Honors English 9 that's sitting at 35. So what we have done is posted for a long-term English sub to come in and team teach with that teacher in order to bring that class ratio down with the idea of them splitting at semester time to help offset that higher class size. Traditionally, a class has dropped kids a couple weeks into the school year. It has not this year. When Tom and I met, it just seems to be the best resolve at this point. So that will be, it's already posted, and you should be interviewing for that as we speak. Stadium project, we'll have Jonathan, starting next month, report out to you on the Bunzel project. It's in the early stages, but we have broken ground at BMS. So that's pretty exciting. Also, I want to remind everyone that
next Monday night at Leon's at 5 o'clock. We're having a fundraising event. The restaurant itself is closed, but they're open for the fundraising event, and people have been invited and et cetera. So it's a mostly by invitation only event. So encourage all of you to attend. Also, in my opinion, it's good, been a good week, and we've had two significant commitments for the project, one of $50,000 from the Quarterback Club and another for $25,000 as a naming rights for the press box. So those came in this week. We need to finalize the paperwork, so they're not on the agenda tonight. But so that's pretty exciting. Also with, I know Bruce came last month, they're still working out the details, and they have an Impact 60 board meeting to approve it early October, so I would look for that to be on our October agenda for that official contract. And the only other thing I would tell you has been a little hiccup at the beginning of the school year has been transportation with all the construction. It is hopefully getting better, we're told, and things are starting to clear up, but it's definitely made some late buses and transportation hiccups for us. So just ask that parents continue to be patient, follow the transportation department on Twitter as they're posting those or on the website as well, because that has been a bit of an obstacle
yeah.
for everyone the past couple weeks.
Great. Thanks for staying on top of the enrollment stuff. I think that's a great plan.
Thank you.
Fix those. So thanks. Okay, treasure report.
Faster than it really would. This, that's based on the levy expiring. Due to state law, we have to show on the forecast as if the levy were gone until it actually is passed. And then the bottom line, again, this is without the levy. You'll see that without the levy, we would actually be showing a deficit, a cash deficit in fiscal year 23. It's worth noting that. Well, I guess I'll hit that on the next slide. So this slide here actually takes into account if the levy were to pass, we keep collecting that about $3.3 million that it generates. You'll note that even with that that revenue, we would still show expenditures exceeding revenue in fiscal 20. Even with that levy, that's still going to be the case. But you would note there in 23 with the levy, we're projecting about a $900,000 ending cash balance at the end. So that's at the very end of the forecast, which would meet our cash balance policy. So it would be at least 1 month of expenditures. But as we talk about the levies, the other levy, our no new millage permanent improvement levy, that's where we talk about that one would push out any new money levies by at least a year. So you can see there at 2023 with a balance of $900,000, we would obviously be looking at a levy at that point. And obviously that's 5 years away, so there's a lot that can change. But based on our projections right now and those assumptions, that $900,000 with that levy would grow to probably $7 or $8 million. So that's how we're able to say, you know, that $2 million levy would actually allow us to push that levy out by another year. Looking at our general fund revenues for fiscal 19, for the most part, we're seeing increased revenues. Interest revenue was really the big driver here. We had some revenue increases last year that we kind of built that trend in for this year. We also had kind of a change in accounting where before we were posting on our longer term investments, we were just posting interest when those matured. So now which led to some really big, you know, hikes in revenue in 1 month. So now we're actually going to post that each month as that revenue accrues. But for instance, our interest rates on our like Star Ohio actually doubled compared to last year. So we're seeing a six-figure increase in interest revenue this year based on rates. So that's great news for the district. You might remember back in fiscal 19, or back in May, when we were looking at what we were going to get in fiscal 19, we always talked about being a cap district when it came to state funding, and that was because the formula calculated we should get, you know, X amount of revenue, but because of the cap, we actually would receive below that. We couldn't get the increases we should get. I'm projecting this year that we'll be coming off of the cap. We'll actually be a formula district, which means now the formula, you know, we just get what the formula calculates. That means if enrollment goes up, our revenue should go up. But if enrollment went down, our revenue would go down. That was a big change to the forecast compared to May, due in part to our increase in enrollment that Diane mentioned earlier. So due to that increase, we're projecting an increase in revenue as well in October, and that was to the tune, I believe, of about $500,000 swing compared to what we were projecting last year. Last year, we were actually projecting revenue to go down, so that was a good swing as well. So, you know, the other interesting thing about this slide that I always, you know, ever since I've been here, I always like to look at, because you'll see here that we note local sources of revenue make up about 49.3% of our revenue total, whereas state sources make up about 50.7%. And since I've been here, that number has been right in that 50-50, 49-51 range. You know, it fluctuates by a half a percent. It'll be really interesting to watch that number going forward, though. This year, in the past couple years, the state sources had jumped up just a little bit because we've been getting some nice increases in our state foundation revenue. But I think what we're going to start to see is our state revenue is at a minimum likely to level off. If enrollment were to start growing, you would see some increases. But for the most part, I think it will level off. The other part there is our state share index. That's where the state looks at how wealthy our district is. And the more wealth you look, the less revenue they give you. So even though your enrollment may go up, they're also going to be cutting your legs out underneath based on, you know, relative wealth. So that's why I think that piece is going to be flat. It's not starting to decrease. And then the other piece is our tangible personal property reimbursement. We're losing $500,000 a year there until it's fully phased out in about, I think it's 2026. So I think this year we're at about $3 million, and that's going to be going away. So I think what you're going to see is that state source share is going to go down, and the local source share is going to go up. Looking at our valuations, we noted this last year, our assessed values were up by 0.7% due to new construction. We do have a Purdue appraisal this year, next year in 2019. We're projecting 5.1% overall increase. Again, that's good news for the district. It increases our valuation. It shows that our community is thriving and doing well economically. The only bad news that goes along with that, as I mentioned, is that state share index. And you know, looking at a 5.1% increase in valuation, I think most likely that's going to be going up a little faster compared to a lot of other counties. So what that means is the state's going to look at us and say, you know, we're a little more wealthy than some of these other counties. So again, you can afford to pay more locally, and we're going to give you a little less on the state side. On the expenditure side, we received a $150,000 refund from the Bureau of Workers' Comp in July. We also received about $170,000 last year, but we did not have the $150,000 in the forecast this year, so that was a savings to the forecast. Also, towards the end of last year, our community school deduction went down significantly, so I've modeled that into the current forecast. And then we'll actually know in October, you know, when we get our updated foundation statements, what those numbers actually look like. Always like to talk about our levy history because it's a good story to tell. Prior to 2008, the last new money issue we passed was in 1998. So from 2008 until this year, it's been over a decade. And again, based on our ending cash balance, we're looking at another 4 to 5 years past that. So we're looking at around 15 years between new money levies. And I always like to point out that right now our effective millage is at 26 mils. And there's a state law. By state law, the minimum millage we can collect is 20. So you have to collect at least 20. We're only collecting 26. And as our valuation goes up, the effective millage goes down. So that millage is actually probably going to decrease next year even more and getting us closer to that state minimum. And as always, point out that we've got the levy coming up this November. That generates a roughly $3.3 million. It's a voted millage of 6.56, but for the residential and agricultural taxpayers, the effective millage is actually only about 2.6 mils. That's it. Any questions?
You talked about us being about 26 mils. What are, just off the top of your head, what are some of the other millages that other school districts are collecting?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, most of those ones, especially you look at who are the other districts who are, you know, successful in getting A's and B's on their report card, and you're not going to find any districts there that are, you know, probably under 40 mils. Most of them are going to be over 40, and you're going to find some that are 50 mils. So that's a stark difference in you know, what our residents are having to pay for getting a really good product. Thank you.
I just wanted to point out too that you did present this to your finance committee as well earlier this week, and I know one of the questions was about whether or not you were projecting any much growth in this forecast.
Right. So in the current forecast, we're projecting really modest growth. I think we project about 25 students per year. Right. And really, what we've seen in the past is it's never a flat. Even number like that, but we may go up by 75 one year, and then we might go down by 50 another year. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that can just be based on, a bubble in class size. So you're seeing this year we have a larger kindergarten class. Mm-hmm. So what we really need to find out is that a bubble, is that just a large class, and then the next kindergarten class the following year will be, more down to normal, or is it a trend? If the following kindergarten class is also an additional, 30 or 40 students larger than normal, then we know we've got to adjust the forecast for increased enrollment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. So it will be on our agenda next month to approve this forecast. So if you have any other questions or, something pops into your head in between, I'm sure Todd would love to sit down and talk to you about numbers, right? Okay, let's see. My report, I really was excited about this year. We decided after we had met that we were going to do building visits as teams this year versus doing the building liaison. So we split into groups of two, and Mrs. Powers, due to work schedule, was not able to come along. So anyways, we split up into groups of two. We split the 11 different buildings in the district. One group went to five, one group went to six. We had a full day of visits, and it was just wonderful. I know we learned a lot, and just had a nice time seeing the different things going on in the buildings and having a chance to talk to staff, talk to students. I know when we started out at Early College High School, we thought the student maybe was getting paid or bribed by the principal there at first, but she just talked for about 10 or 15 minutes about what a great time she was having.
Can we visit another room now?
I know, yeah.
She was really excited about her school.
She was. It was nice. So our plan is to flip this next semester so that you can go to the buildings that we went to and we can go to the buildings that you went to. So hopefully the staff was fine with us coming through and asking questions, but it's always fun for us to do that. Let's see, community coffee. We had a community coffee this last Saturday. We had one attendee show up and talked about some concerns about the school speed limit signs in front of Navin, wondering if there could be some flashing lights put there. So she had gotten some information. I've shared that with Diane, and so we'll be following up on that to see what we can do out there. Japanese students visited, so between our last meeting and now, we welcomed them here on the 18th of August, had a farewell on the 24th of August. I know Brian got to go to the welcome, I got to go to the farewell, Nan was there. Just had so many smiling faces. I think it's wonderful for not only the students, but their families, and I mean, for both students, and so I'm appreciative that we continue to do that exchange. It's great for our community. Upcoming events, Raymond's Fall Festival is October 4th. The Hispanic Cultural Celebration is Saturday, October 6th from noon to 4 at Bunsold, and I think they'll be starting to sell tickets here pretty soon. I think pre-tickets are, I have a flyer in here. But yes, if you need, I think... Yeah. Here we go. Pre-sale tickets are $10. They are $12 at the door. And you can get them at Bunsold or the high school. And our homecoming parade is October 10th. I think it starts at 6 o'clock. And Capitol Conference, we've been getting lots of emails on that. So hopefully you are planning to attend that on November 11th through the 13th. So that's it for my report. We have a legislative report, Mr. Smith?
I do, and I sent a copy to each of you. The legislature's not in session. Man and I attended a meet candidate breakfast at OSBA offices on Tuesday of this week. None of the local candidates for state representative were there. But there were eight others, and the discussion there, as it pointed out, focused on support for public education, the need to safeguard tax dollars from an ECOT kind of situation. We've had a lot on the school report card. There were questions about that and how effective it was and some of the changes that needed to be addressed. They also talked about the opioid problem and school safety. And I noted that Nan may have some comments that there's something you'd like to add.
Yes. So it was actually a pretty good meeting, and I was surprised by the passion of the question and answer session that came along with it. So there was a lot of discussion about the caps, the district caps. Mm-hmm. Some of the Central Ohio districts are growing rather exponentially because Central Ohio is really thriving. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty upset people about the caps. It's quoted something like Central Ohio school districts are losing over $250 million a year due to CAPS.
Wow.
in Central Ohio District. So, and they also brought out some points in regarding to the proposed legislation regarding sports betting and how that would benefit the school districts. And they drew some comparisons back to when the lottery was supposed to earn money for the schools, and then the second time when the casinos came in, it was supposed to earn money to the schools. But in fact, all of those are net net situations. Every dollar they put in from the lottery or from the casinos comes out
somewhere else
on the other side. So they wanted to discuss that and kind of wanted to make that known, that let's not be fooled again. And then there was some very lively conversation in regards to state report cards. Some districts are not pleased with the report card and the grades that they are receiving. So, but it was a great opportunity to interface. And we had a lot of people, a lot of the candidates of their own volition brought up the idea of services, health services in the schools.
Right, like the wraparound?
Yeah, the wraparound services. And many of the candidates that are running, that may be their number one educational position, is that they want wraparound services in the school district. So maybe something, food for thought for later on.
Cool.
And at the end of my report, there are two articles in the OSBA journal that we received. One is on school safety, and it focuses on the school resource officer, the police officer in the school, and the levy, particularly the second part of the levy, would allow our school district to increase the number of SROs that we have in our schools, and it does an excellent job. We've had a recent change in state law that creates this position that didn't really, in law, didn't exist before, so now they've created it in law and laid out a minimum of 40 hours of training that school resource officers will have to take. I thought it was really important that a lot of the training is on the mentoring and the modeling aspects of the SRO in the school buildings. And then the second article in here is on legislation that was signed by the governor. And all of those are things that we've discussed before, having reports before, except for House Bill 438. It deals with school boards and SECs and isn't really something that is germane to our district at this time. So that's my report.
Great. Thank you, and thanks for attending that legislative breakfast. I really appreciate that, and sharing the information, just like our work plan says. Good job. Okay, for the safety report, Mrs. Powers isn't here tonight, but actually, Colleague Weisig had stopped off at my office the other day and gave me some information to share with you all, so you should all have a couple of flyers here from the Union County Drug Free Coalition, and there's some extra ones on the table as well. Next month, Holly has asked to do like a 5-minute presentation about the survey about health behaviors and stuff in the county. So we'll most likely hear from them next month. And that's it for our reports. So next, I would accept a motion to approve our minutes from last month's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments, questions, corrections? And roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I need a motion to approve our Board of Education goals and work plan for the 2018-2019 year.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments?
I think that our goals every year change, mm-hmm. and I think that the goals this year reflect the direction, support for the activities and so forth with our school district. And they clearly outline and lay responsibilities on all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think kind of the whole process of reviewing the work plans is a good reminder for all of us every year as well, and just kind of continue to tweak them and have some great discussions. So if this does end up getting approved, we'll go ahead and make sure that it gets uploaded to the website.
We expect teachers to have and set goals every year. We do the same thing. So.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. Next, I would entertain a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
Just a couple of things to point out. The amounts and rates are in here for approval. That's something we do every September. We receive from the county auditor. It's basically an estimate of the taxes that will be generated from our millage. And then also something new that's relatively new is our 403B plan. We approved a 403B plan well before I got here. This is just an update to the plan for compliance purposes to make sure we're up to par with the IRS. Does not change any of our current practices. It's really just to make sure we're in compliance.
I did note also a donation from the class of 90,
oh, yes.
1990. Yes,
yes,
Mr. Williamson.
The stadium project.
Yeah, that's nice. I think that they should throw out a challenge to all of the past classes. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yes.
Okay, that's on the record. Okay, any questions? Nope. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve Paul Devine as a home instructor for home instruction for the 18-19 school year.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. And motion carries. Now for the rest of our superintendent items, need a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Okay, you're on.
All right. So we have some hiring of crossing guards, et cetera. Pretty typical HR items. We wanted to highlight three retirements they're working through the whole school year. Jody Cunningham from Edgewood, Beth Bulmer from Bunzeld, and Mary Davis from Bunzeld. So certainly collectively they've invested a lot of time in Mary's school and kids. So thank them for their work and time in the district. Quite a list of supplementals, quite a list of volunteers.
I think I counted 16 pages of volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
There were a lot.
I lost count. It's over 650.
Wow.
Names.
Yeah, it's kept the HR office moving over there.
Right? I think so.
We also have the approval for some interns. Interns, actually, Creekview. As well. So,
would one of them happen to be here? Maybe?
I would think. Maybe.
Okay. Anxiously awaiting this vote. Yeah.
Sitting here for such a long time.
I know. Please say yes. No.
And I would just also note the construction resolution in there. It's the basically approval for a 5% contingency on the Bunzel Stadium project. In some of our past construction projects. Okay. That contingency was built into the original bid. What we've done a little differently with this one is it's actually outside of the bid. So this way it's not, in our opinion, it's not as seen as readily available by the contractor. So it's really hopefully a little more under our control. So it's kind of strategically done that way.
Good. Nice move. Also noticed that we have Aaron Peitzmeyer coming back halftime on there, so that's exciting to see that.
He's been back for a little while.
Yep, that's great. Any questions?
I was just going to say, I think it makes all the good sense in the world to have a contingency approved. Anytime you have a building project, there are going to be things that weren't anticipated that will come up, and we need to move forward on this project. We need to have things completed, and we certainly don't want any delays.
And I did drive by, so I saw a lot of dirt out there now.
That's right.
Yeah. Any questions, comments? Okay. Well, we will. I know Brian and I did have. We had a chance to say hello to Mrs. Cunningham when we were at Edgewood. So, yes, for those volunteers. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. So now, comments and questions from board members. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, you're official now. Welcome to the district. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm Hannah Putman. I'm a senior at Ohio State University with a major in social work and a minor in studio art, and I am interning with Ms. Balch here at Creek View Intermediate for the duration of the school year.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, thank you. We'll expect to see you at every meeting now, okay? They usually don't last this long, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Nan.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. I think the five-year forecast clearly shows the need for passage of the growth of the levy. We certainly hope that the people in the community see the value in that. I think it also points out that the financial interests of this district are not on a five-year cycle, that the financial stability of our district is a continuing issue, and hopefully they will see that and support that. I know our superintendent mentioned having large class size in high school, having taught at high school for a lot of years, it's not unusual at the beginning of the year from time to time to have class size that's a little larger than what you would like. Appreciate the fact that she's got a plan in place to address that situation. And last, the state report card, I think, is an indication that things in this district are moving in the right direction. I know that there are some issues and problems. When I go to Columbus and you talk to people, they bring a variety of perspectives about their thoughts on the state report card and where they would like to see it put. But it is what it is. This has been noted, I think, that this year they've had an overall grade for the district, and that's the first time since about 2011. It was the last time that they, at that time, they used excellent. But since about 2011, there has not been a designation. No school in the state of Ohio has been excellent. No school in the state of Ohio has had an A. This is the first time around, and we are in good shape. When you look at our school, the schools that we compare ourselves to, the athletic conference in which we participate, we're competing against schools that are known nationally for their academic achievements, and we match well or better than well against many of them. So.
I wanted to just make a comment about the building visits. I thought that was a great experience. It was a busy day, and I'm glad I wore comfortable shoes because that was a lot of walking. One of the things that I kind of want to do a shout-out on is that we specifically asked to be able to interact with some of our special needs students, and I've never been able to be in the classrooms with the special needs kids before, and we have staff that's doing amazing work with a fairly significant population of students, and it's a very, very challenging work, and they are very, very dedicated people, so wanted to do a little shout out on that. Also, we ran into the kids doing the geo humanities projects. Same day we were doing the tours, and it was very nice to run into high school kids interacting with, you know, elementary kids and preview kids, and teaching them. You could see how excited and enthused the young kids were to interact with the older children, and that was a very, very good program from what I could see. So, again, also on the report card, I want to say thank you so much for everybody's hard work and dedication. And, again, once again, our volunteer list is incredible. Mm-hmm. I just can't thank all the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, older brothers and sisters that I see on that list that help our school be as good as it can be.
And if I can jump back in, Northwood did exceptionally well this year, but I'd like to point out that our Raymond principal is here, and Raymond did exceptionally well also this year.
Mm-hmm. So did Creekview.
I don't have that much to say. It was a little longer meeting than usual, but everything's been really good. I mean, I learned a lot. There's so many good things going on in the district right now, and I'm really excited about all of them. But I did want to mention the building visit, because we don't get to do that all the time, and a lot of parents and community members don't get to do that. And it really is quite amazing to actually go into a lot of classrooms and really see what these teachers are doing. And one of the things I noticed was every classroom was different. Every classroom had its own sort of environment and culture, but those teachers are right there committed to educating those kids, and it's, there's a lot of positivity around the district. We also visited the transportation department and got to meet the people who work there and the bus drivers, and it was a very positive experience as well. Yeah.
Okay. Any comments, Todd?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Well, I want to thank Mrs. Wells again for an amazing presentation. You guys have just come so far. It's really incredible. And I just have to agree with everyone else on the report card. So incredibly proud of what's going on. It just gets me choked up. Sorry. I also want to say that thank you for covering the meeting last month. Can't believe 55 minutes.
We
that's
got
crazy.
Out 55 minutes.
I know, but that's because we put off some of these presentations, so I wouldn't miss it.
Is that why?
That's part of it, yeah. So I was sorry that I missed that announcement by Bruce when Bruce and Tony were here, and I really wanted to also make a comment of how much I appreciate everything that Bruce and Honda Marysville and his Impact 60 team are doing, not only for our district, but for our entire community. So good job, everyone.
Absolutely.
I'm ready for a motion to adjourn. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned.